This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Let's talk about some of the lessons that we can learn from David about how to defeat detours to destiny. Let me tell you what the first one is. I'll tell you right off the bat. David teaches us, by the way he dealt with Goliath, that we need to not be intimidated by the size of the problems that we can confront in our lives. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span, in case you don't have your cubit ruler with you, that's more than 9 feet tall. Goliath was big. In fact, the scripture says that his armor weighed 125 pounds and his spear point alone weighed 15 pounds, just the point of his spear. This was a big man. And the scripture says Goliath stood on one side of the mountain every day and he shouted to the Israelites. Look at verses 8 through 10. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 8 through 10. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And the account says that he did this morning and evening for 40 straight days, stood there, shouted across the valley, "Send somebody out to fight me." Now the question arises, what was this all about? If they were going to fight, why didn't they just go fight? Why is he going to stand there 40 days shouting across the valley? Well, let me show you what was going on. I'm a tennis fan. And you may know that Serena Williams just won the Australian Open tennis tournament. It was a total surprise to everybody because she's been out of the game for quite a while through injuries and so forth. And I have to tell you, she was ranked number 81 coming into the tournament. And in the final, she was playing the number one ranked person in the world, Maria Sharapova. She wiped her out. She mopped up the floor with her. 6-1 and 6-2. Amen. I enjoy those. Hallelujah. But you know, the thing that struck me was this. Everybody was so surprised. And I read one article that says, you know, one of the reasons why we're so surprised that she was able to do this is that when people have been away from the sport for a while, they lose their confidence that they can win the tough points and the tough matches. But she showed confidence. She never gave up. She had her game face on. If you watch that match, you could see it. She had her game face on the whole match until the end. Amen. She never lost confidence. Well, what was Goliath doing there on the side of the mountain? He was trying to intimidate the Israelites into losing their confidence. He knew that once they lost confidence in their ability to win the battle, it was all over with. And so the whole point of the Philistines putting Goliath out there, all 9 foot tall of him, was to intimidate the Israelites. And guess what? He succeeded. Look at verse 11 of 1 Samuel 17. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, when they looked on 9 foot tall Goliath, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Catch it. Because the Israelites let Goliath intimidate him with his size, they had no chance to win the battle. Now let me tell you something. Goliath is one of the devil's favorite and most effective strategies, not only against the Israelites in that day, but against us today. The whole purpose of Goliath standing on that mountain was to get the Israelites looking at how big and bad he was so that they would be intimidated. And what the devil tries to do with us is to get us looking at how big and bad our problems are so that we will be intimidated. Because once you are intimidated, you have very little chance to win the battle. It might be a financial difficulty, a bad relationship with a loved one, problems at work. Could be a habit that you can't break, a sickness or disease. Whatever it is something that just seems so big that there is no answer for it. So big and so bad that we will never be able to overcome it. And the devil figuratively has a Goliath standing there shouting at us, look how big I am. You'll never defeat me. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse 27. Do you know what Satan's strategy is? The strategy that Satan employs with all of us is to get us looking at how big our problem is so that we forget how big our God is. You see, the answer to this whole thing is not the size of the problem. The answer is the size of your God. Look at this. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? How many of you know there is nothing that's too hard for God? Amen? Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how big it seems or how bad it seems. It's not too much for God. The problem that we're facing is not how big the issue that we're trying to deal with is how big we think our God is. Catch it. The size of the problem in your life literally does not matter to God. All of you have seen a fly, and all of you have seen crickets. We got some big crickets out here. And in the springtime, I don't know what it is, but they seem to get down in the crack in front of the office door here. And as soon as I open the door, they'll hop up into the door. It's like they're trying to get in here for some reason. Well, guess what? In my office, I have a fly swatter. And when flies get in here, I take my fly swatter and I go fly hunting. Amen? And I'm good. Fly come in this place, it's suicide. Amen? Now, flies are just little itty-bitty things. The crickets that we have are much bigger than flies. They're much bigger. You could take, I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe 10 flies and make one of those crickets. So they're much bigger than the fly. But guess what? I don't care. I don't use a fly swatter. When that cricket comes in here and starts hopping down the hall, you know what I'm doing? And I don't miss. Amen? So the cricket is a big insect. The fly is a small insect, but to me, there is no difference. I'm going to deal with them both. Guess what? Whatever your problem may be, you may be a fly looking up at a cricket saying, oh, that's a big problem. But to God, it's all one. Whether he's got to use a fly swatter or whether he's going to stomp on it, he doesn't care. The size of your problem does not matter to God. In fact, go over to Judges chapter 7. Do you remember the story of Gideon? God had called Gideon to deliver his people. because the Midianites and the Amalekites had gathered together to attack Israel. And Gideon called the people together to defend themselves. And when he sent out that call, 32,000 men responded to come and join the army to defend Israel against the Amalekites and the Midianites. But look at how God responded when he saw all those men come. God said, you're not going to look at all these men and they go out and fight the battle and you say, we did it. Because who fights the battles for his people? God does. Amen? So God had Gideon weed those men out. First thing he said was, and remember, there were 32,000 men who came. And so God had Gideon go to that 32,000 men and say, look, anybody who's afraid, just pack up and go on back home. You know how many packed up and went home? 22,000 out of the 32. Two-thirds of them. The moment he said, if you're fearful, you just scoot. They scooted. Amen. 22,000 people went home and it left 10,000. But you know what God did? God looked at the 10,000 and said, it's still too many. No, you still might think you did it yourself. So let me whittle it down a little bit more. So he had Gideon take him down to the stream and said, tell them to drink. And so the ones that got down on their knees and put their face down in the water, God said, set them to the side. But the ones that kind of kneeled down and they brought their hand up to their mouth while they could still look around and see what was happening, God said, those are the ones you keep. You know how many ones out of the original 32,000 that God said keep? 300. Just 300. Now, if Gideon called and 32,000 came and the Amalekites and the Midianites were attacking, they must have had tens of thousands of men. Amen? God said, I'm going to do it with 300. And he did. He set an ambush. He sent Gideon into the camp and they uncovered lamps and scared the Midianites and the Amalekite army and they overwhelmed them. And what was the point? God was showing, I don't care how many of them there are. I don't care how big the problem is. It doesn't matter to me. I will always be able to overcome. And if you're my people, whatever's going on in your life, it doesn't matter. God already has an answer for it. Let's take one more example. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 6. Look at this. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 14. In 2 Kings 6, the king of Syria was trying to attack Israel, but everything that he planned, the king of Israel heard about it. And somebody said, you know, there's a prophet down there that whenever you speak, it goes right into that prophet's ear, and he tells it to the king of Israel. And so the king of Syria sent a great army to capture Elisha, the prophet, to get him out of the way. Look at what happened. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Isn't that great? Isn't God great? Look, the king of Syria sent a whole army to get one man. Now, if you were Elisha's servant and looked out and you saw a whole army surrounding you, don't you think you might have been a little bit afraid? Don't you think you might have been saying, what are we going to do? Hey, how in the world are we going to get out of this? Let me just ask you, have you ever said that about your problem? What are we going to do? How in the world are we going to get out of this? I don't see any way out. I seem to be surrounded by problems on every side. And everything I try, everything that I attempt, nothing works. How in the world are we going to get out of this? Well, you know what the answer is? God needs to open your eyes so that you can see there are more for us than there are for them. Amen? You are surrounded by the servants of the living God. Hallelujah. Some of whom you can see, but many of whom you cannot see. But guess what? They are still there. Praise God. They are there, and they are there for you. Why? To do whatever needs to be done in your life to deal with the issue that you are facing in your life, because God doesn't care how big the issue is, because he's a big God. Hallelujah. You need to know you're never alone. Trying to face whatever the circumstance or the issue of your life is, you are never alone. God has servants ready to aid you. Amen? They're there for us because we serve a big God. Catch it. Here's the one thing I want you to remember from this whole message, and I'll say it over and over again. It's not the size of your problem. It's the size of your God. It's not the size of your problem that matters. It's the size of your God. You will face some hard problems in your life. Now, I don't want to be the bringer of bad news, but let me just tell you something. You're not going to get through this life without dealing with some difficult issues. That's just the way life is. Amen? Ever since Adam and Eve fell, that's the way life is. And if you allow yourself to be intimidated by the size of the problem that's facing you, instead of remembering how big your God is, you will not overcome the problem. The Indianapolis Colts are in the Super Bowl. Hallelujah. Not the Steelers, not the Eagles, but the Indianapolis Colts, quarterbacked by Peyton Manning from the University of Tennessee. Hallelujah. Amen. You know how the Colts got to the Super Bowl? They had to go through the New England Patriots. In every playoff game that Peyton Manning had played against the New England Patriots, the Patriots beat them. Ended their season when they should have gone further. And when that game was played, I watched with anticipation because I felt like, you know, this is going to be the Colts' year. So I'm sitting there watching, and it got to be 14-3. And I'm going, this don't look so good. And then Peyton Manning threw an interception, was run back for a touchdown. It was 21-3. You know what I said to myself? Look, I can't take this. I turned around and worked on my computer. Amen. I couldn't take it. By halftime, it was 21-6. Now, here's the point of this. If the Colts had believed in the size of their problem, they would have given up at halftime. When you're down 21-3 before the half to the team that's always beat you in the playoffs, people are, and everybody throughout the nation on TV is already saying, here we go again. It's going to be the way that this has always been. But you know what happened in the locker room? Their coach, Tony Dungy, said this. Look, guys, we're only down by 18 points. Okay? And in fact, by the time they got into the locker room, they were down by 15 points. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to come out in the second half. We're going to drive. We're going to score a touchdown. We're going to score a two-point conversion. And we're going to be back in this game. In fact, he's saying, this is our time. This is our time. What was he doing? He was saying, don't look at the size of your giant. Don't look at the score and say, how are we going to? This is the Patriots, winner of three of the last five Super Bowls. How are we going to come back from this deficit against them? No. Wait a minute. You're the Colts. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. Don't look at the size of the giant. Look at the capability that's been placed in you. Well, guess what? There is a capability that's been placed in each one of us that's beyond even what we ourselves know. Amen? Nobody else may realize what it is yet, but there is a capability that's been placed in us that God can pull out of us to overcome any situation that we face. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Look at this. No temptation, and that word means trials, no temptation or trial has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do you see God's promise to you? God says, look, I'm not going to let you get into anything that's too big for you to handle. If God allows you to get into it, it's because he's got a plan for you in that situation to bring you through that situation, and he knows you can handle it. He says, no temptation, no trial has overtaken you except what is common to man. You ever feel like you're the only one? Ever feel like you're the only one going through what you're going through? God says, look, understand. Whatever it is, you're not the only one. It is common to man. But then the second thing is so exciting. It says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tried beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, with the trial, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Understand. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're having to deal with, God already has a way for you to be victorious in that circumstance. He has already appointed a way. It's already there waiting for you to discover it and to put it to work in your life when you are faithful and obedient to the word of God in dealing with the situations that you're faced with in your life. Guess what? God already has a way for you to overcome. Amen? You know what this is telling us? As a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, you cannot be beat. You cannot be defeated, not if you stay steady, not if you keep the course of following and obeying God and his word. You cannot be beat because God himself is faithful and he has promised. So don't panic. Whenever you're facing a situation and it seems so big and so bad and so horrible, well, the first thing the devil tries to get you to do is to panic. Don't panic. Don't let fear about the size of the problem overwhelm you. The issue is not the size of the problem. The issue is the size of your God. Amen? And our God is big enough so that he literally does not care how big your problem is. He's already made a way of escape. You know what that means? It means if you can trust God for a headache, you can trust God for cancer. It means if you can trust God for lunch money, you can trust God for the rent money. It means if you can trust God to get you a job, you can trust God to get you another job if you lose the first one. You see, whatever it is, God does not care about the size of the problem because he's a big God. And if you trust him, he's already made a way of escape to bring you through that situation. So when you're faced with a giant of a problem in your life, a Goliath who seems to be every day standing there on the side of the mountain shouting over to you, look at me, look at how big I am. Look at how bad I am. You can't defeat me. You can't overcome me. When that seems to be happening in your life, you need to remember what David did. David overcame Goliath with 5 smooth stones. Amen? 5 smooth stones. Well, let me tell you what your stones are. First of all, you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Then you look the devil in the face. And you tell him, devil, you cannot intimidate me because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And devil, I don't care how hard you try, you cannot intimidate me. I will not be intimidated by the size of the problem. And then you take him over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And when the devil tries to tell you that you will never overcome that situation, whatever it is, it's too big for you, you turn to him and say, devil, you are a liar. You're a liar, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you take him over to Isaiah 54, 17. And when the devil tells you that this problem is going to defeat you and it's going to tear you down and it's going to destroy your happiness in life, keep you in a place of misery in your life, you take him to Isaiah 54, 17 and you tell him, devil, you're a liar again. Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And when the devil tries to keep your mind all agitated with worry and anxiety about the situation, you go right on over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And you say, my God has told me already how to handle this. He told me that I need be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I can make my request known to God. And when I handle it that way, you know what the result will be? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Devil, you can't shake me up. You can't get me all worried and anxious, because I'm just going to turn it over to my God. Hallelujah. And then you wrap it all up by going over to Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 38. When the devil just tries to lay that weight and that burden on you and just get you feeling, oh, it's just so bad. You whip out Romans 8, 37 through 39. It says this, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When you face a Goliath in your life, a giant of a problem, a giant of a situation, you need to remember that in Jesus Christ, you are more than conqueror. Maybe just the conqueror couldn't handle it. But God said, you are more than conqueror. And nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's not the size of your problem that matters. It's the size of your God. How big is your God today?